All right, welcome back, Water Ski Pro Tour Podcast. Trent Findlayson. This week I'm joined with number two on the Klipsch Audio leaderboard, Freddie Winter. Freddie, fresh off Mastercraft Pro. We're going to jump in, just kind of run through the results. But what just quick reflection on the weekend. You had a bit of a weekend. Just kind of walk us through quickly your ups and downs, highs and lows.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. My debut on the Water Ski Pro Tour podcast. I'm very excited. From the start, it started badly and it got better and better. It went from absolute disaster in the first round, which, I mean, like, I don't let go of the handle particularly, so I don't really know what happened there. I just slipped off of it. Was dead last after the first round, and then the next round I was very stressed about, but I flinched a little bit into buoy 3 at 41, having not had a 10 out of 10 start, and ran the 3, which you know, I'd rather have got around 4 and cemented my place in the final, but I was nervous for a little bit, but in the end sort of ended up okay. And then the final happily just really went for it. I mean, I was kind of mad after the first day, like, you know, this is my home tournament in some ways, and I wanted to, like, you know, put on a display. I was skiing well in practice, and then that happened. So I kind of just, yeah, I got progressively more buoys as we went towards the final, and then I had progressively more fun, and sort of moved away from the doom and gloom of the first morning. So that was kind of the way I'd rather it would go. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It was something seeing you, off the dock first, you know, there was children following you.
Yeah, no, Jade Need, who's going to be a hell of a skier, but yeah, no, it was a fairly unfamiliar spot. I was kind of almost embarrassed walking around getting ready as you know, Will Ash has not even turned up yet, right? You know, it's like, I was like, okay, well, you know, leave my ego at the door and let's go do some water skiing.
What do you do with that? Like, cause I think, you know, as much as, you know, I like to look back on these tournaments and we kind of hash them over, but people can learn from that. Like, you know, you went from, you know, like for you, you know, in that time, like the lowest of the lows, so you said slightly embarrassed, but did getting ready for that next round that morning, I mean, did you have to put yourself in a different place mentally, emotionally, or was it just like, no, that was an outlier, this isn't really a thing?
Well, I was nervous because, you know, as you understand as well as anyone, the sort of count back situation makes things tough. So basically I realized that if I ran 3 at 41, I would have a chance, but it certainly wasn't safe. I knew that, you know, if I ran a 3 at 41 and then a 1.5 at 39, which is what I had in the end, I was susceptible. So it was kind of like, I don't know, I don't do so badly when I'm a little bit annoyed. A little bit of a pump through the body kind of doesn't tend to do me so awfully. So I was just kind of like, let's go out there, let's ski, let's feel it out, and then go for it. And, you know, like I say, 3 wasn't, that was the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But in the end, sure. I think it ended up being the second best score of the round, weirdly. Yep. Nate obviously went ahead and ran a very, very easy 41. But the mindset was, screw this, I don't know what the hell happened yesterday, let's go to war. And I wasn't particularly happy. It was so funny because on the Friday afternoon I left the lake in this kind of fairly foul mood, and I was like, well, I can't just sit around and do nothing. So I was just kicking a football around and, you know, and just getting active, like actually doing more exercise than I normally would, just so I didn't sort of just sit there and simmer away and use up all my emotional energy that way.
Yeah. No, it was interesting to watch. Let's jump right ahead. Like in the end, it ended up, you know, in the final, Dane Meckler, 4:41, yourself, 5:41. And that's like, you know, that's when you leave somebody with you know, the only way to win this tournament is to run 41, meaning, you know, Nate was going to have to run 41 to win. It's like, you run your 5, how do you feel? Like, I mean, obviously you're probably, knowing you, you're probably slightly annoyed you didn't run the pass, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you put it out there and it's like, nah, you're going to have to go ahead and beat me. Like, you left just the tiniest margin for someone to get past you.
Yeah, but Nate can do that, and I kind of knew that. So I didn't think he was going to run any less than five. So I was sort of, keeping warm, ready for runoff. But I had a good chance. But I mean, to be honest with you, mate, I mean, like, not to sound like a loser's position, but I was just almost so relieved that the tournament had gone from being so bad. And I can't be upset with 5:41 from running 1:39 in the first round. So, and I think I was also just really excited that I went off the dock at 38 off. Like I've never done that. And I was,
tell me why you did that.
Because I'll tell you why it didn't end up benefiting me, but, there was a headwind off the dock when I, like, for the first four or five skiers. So Cole actually ran 4:41 with a slight tail breeze. And I kind of was like, well, I don't really like that tailwind. So I'm going to go, I'm going, man, do I go out 38? Do I opt up? Whatever. But I definitely want that 41 into the wind. Well, sure enough, I make the decision last minute to go out 38 with a little bit of help from Wade Cox. And then I get to boy three and boy five. I'm like, there's no wind. It's died. I got down the end and I'm like, well, that was a complete waste of energy, because you know how it is. You go out, people say, oh, well, you didn't have to do your first two passes. You saved energy. No. Every line length you have to build in, you're saving energy because you're getting that flow going. You're not just hitting your muscles really hard immediately. So, and I was kind of like, I've had a good season. I've been on the podium every time I've skied this year. And I was kind of just like, I'm not going to try and get on the podium here. I'm going to go try and win. I don't want to run four and I want to go and run the pass. And in some ways it was like it freed me up. It was like a free hit. Like, let's go and do something that no one else is going to do or unlikely to. Let's go and have some fun with it. I've skied so many rounds of tournament this year and over the course of my life. Like, I've never done this before, so that's fun also. And let's just go and turn some boys and do some big pulls and see how we go. And it ended up, I didn't run the pass. I mean, I don't know if you saw that boy four that I took at 41, having like nearly slipped out at three. Like, that was as big of a hit as I've probably taken all year. I mean, did I think I was going to run it necessarily coming into that pass before the pre-gates? No. So to get five, like, I certainly wasn't upset. I was very, very happy. And to come second again, no disgrace. And when someone goes out after you and runs 41, then, you can't be too upset because they just keep better than you.
Yep. And then over on the women's side, it was the women's slalom was interesting. We had, obviously in the end, Regina won 2:41. Jamie Bull as close as you could be 1:41. And then Whitney McClintock 3.5 at 39. Women's slalom was interesting. And I know the conditions were a little up and down, but it almost kind of left with that feeling that Regina was the only one that figured it out. She had 2:41 in the first round. She had an abbreviated second round, 2:41 again in the last round. And then, there was just a lot of mid and shallow 39 scores. Was there something that maybe wasn't visible through webcast? Was it, I mean, were the conditions up and down, or how do you explain that? Like, cause again, like, like Whitney threw the tournament, 2:39, 4:39, 3.5:39 in the finals. It's just not typical Whitney scores. What, how come people were struggling a little bit?
Well, I think if you look at Jamie Bull, and Regina, those are the, if you compare their tournaments, right? Regina was very solid from the start, but she'd been practicing there all week. I'd been there a handful of times that week, skiing myself behind the boat, getting ready. And I saw her there every day. She's skiing there a lot. So she was sort of straight off the bat. She was immediately ready. Jamie looked like she just didn't. She'd probably come straight off a Nautique over at Travers, and she just probably wasn't used to it. So she built up through the rounds. And then, sure enough, I mean, like, her 1, 2, 3, and 4 at 39 in the final there were absolutely beautiful. So, I'm taking nothing away from Regina whatsoever. I mean, she was in some ways potentially the most professional of the athletes there. She was the one that went and did all the practice. So, Jamie was building into it, and then when she figured out like how to use the boat, which is a little bit different, every time I go to a different tournament, I was trying to get behind that boat beforehand so I can kind of be ready to understand that pull. I think Jamie just looked amazing towards the end, and nearly had Regina. I mean, Regina again had to run 39. Whitney, I'm not sure. She had a bit of a weird round. She started off the season just so incredibly. She ran 39. Like it was probably the first of the first 15, 20 rounds I saw her ski. I probably saw her miss 39 maybe three times. California, she didn't run it out of three rounds. And then here, she didn't run it out of three rounds. There was wind. The first day it was very windy. The second day, I'm not the in the morning, probably not so bad. But yeah, I mean, and I didn't see the final, but for Whitney, but yeah, like I don't know. The thing is that she'll come back. She's not running the score she was maybe at the start of the season, but I know she's changed equipment. She's getting used to something new, and I just have confidence that she. I don't think she's doing Malibu this weekend, but I think the Travis tournament she'll be ready for, and then thereafter for Worlds.
Yeah, and I guess there's probably for someone like Whitney, she holds such an anchor position with Water Ski Canada and the national team. I think like Worlds years or like the seasons that have an elite world championships. I think different skiers approach those seasons differently. With her role on the Canadian national team and her history on the Canadian national team, and then her family's pedigree as it relates to Water Ski Canada and world championship titles. I think some skiers, I'm not saying she's laying up later in the season, but I would think her training is, I would think 80% of her focus on her daily water skiing and her tournaments is all really leading towards October, leading towards the world championships.
I think that's certainly fair. And I think that, we as water skiers have been conditioned to do that.
Yeah.
I've been doing this professionally, like as my primary focus for the last 10 years. Of course, I had, it was my primary focus before that, but I mean, actually being in it, being able to do it has been the last 10 years. And for the huge majority of that, the first 7 years, we had the World Championships was the biggest event. The Masters was the second biggest event. And Moonboard was the third biggest event, right? You had a jump down in a level, and then there was everything else. Well, at this stage, we have Water Ski Pro Tour, which is a new thing. And I think that, whereas in the old days, you kind of were focusing more on events, I think increasingly people are looking at the leaderboard that's being publicized. Before you had the elite list, but as it was on some website that no one knew about. It looked like it was created by a child in 1993. Now we've got something to whoever created that website, but it was, at the time in 2019 when it got taken over, like it was not up to scratch. So now we've got something that people are increasingly taking notice of publicly, but also within the skiers. I talked to Whitney and she said after she skied, she goes, damn, that's taken me out of the tour running. I did want to win it, but I don't think I can now. Yes, I think still the primary focus is the World Championships, but, and to be completely frank with you, it is for me too. Having said that, I still count my World Championships win as not only the best win of my career, but probably the best day of my life. So, but I increasingly think the Water Ski Pro Tour is becoming a bigger deal in people's minds. And you're going to see at the end of this year, people are actually going to be rewarded. There's actually a pretty solid prize purse being distributed amongst the skiers, which, certainly no one's going to get from the World Championships, apart from maybe their local national federations. So, and let's be honest, what's fairer in terms of defining who the best skier in the world is? Is it the guy that has a good day in October, or is it the guy that goes to 10 tournaments or 15 tournaments in the year and does it every single weekend and stays between first and fifth every single time? That to me is a who's the better skier? Well, it's obviously the guy that did it all year. You average out the results. So I obviously I'm connected to this Water Ski Pro Tour thing and not to be sort of a proselytizing, whatever you call it. But I think that this has a big future. And I believe that, increasingly as price versus rise here and as people more and more kind of get into the idea of a season long tour, it's going to be the thing. You look at Formula One. I mean, if you win Monaco, hey, great. You won Monaco. That's huge, but you want to win you'd rather win the world championships and come second everywhere.
Yep. Exactly. Let's cruise over to the jump from last weekend. Also on women's side of things, Regina third place, 170 feet, and Regina started the year with some big jumps, right? Like she had that win down in Florida, the night jam event, and then you just saw her scores kind of taper off a little bit. I know she was having maybe just a little bit of minor issues with her knee again, but back up into the 170s. Janina Meckler was second, 175, and then. Of course, Hannah Straslova, 185. Like while this weekend was closer, the previous event, she won by like 20 feet. She has this more than half step above everybody else. And while she's not jumping a lot further than she was a couple of years ago, she's doing it with a lot more ease. Like she suddenly looks like when she's jumping in the high 180s, she looks like she's a 200-foot jumper. And then over on the men's side, Louis Freiburg, 222, Jack Critchley, second place, 222. And then, well, I mean, watching Freddie win, and which he did at 230 feet, fewer, like, it's really satisfying watching Freddie do what Freddie does, at this stage in his career, when he's still handling these young guys like that. You had put a post up the other day about, it was a little tongue in cheek, but it was about actually taking the opportunity to meet your heroes. What, tell me about that. Like, I've got a working relationship with Freddie, and we've been friends for a long time, but I've also told him, like, me watching you jump is like someone watching LeBron James play basketball. I'm like, we're friends, but dude, I'm a huge fan of his craft. What did you mean by that post?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that famous old saying, never meet your hero. So I had it where I crossed out the never, because I mean, and I think it's probably true, as I've gotten older and I've got more into sort of, professional sport, you kind of maybe realize that your idols of childhood probably weren't, because they were good at a sport, they weren't necessarily good people. Right. Exactly. But that is the exact, and that's been a real eye opener for me. You kind of revisit, like, I used to think that, Wayne Rooney was the best guy around in what you would call soccer, probably. And maybe he wasn't, right? But Freddy Krueger is not that guy. Freddy Krueger, I mean, and again, I have a working relationship with him, Mastercraft D3. And also, I'd like to call him a friend. So I kind of always feel a little bit weird to kind of speak so highly of him in case it comes across as sycophantic. But yeah, the guy, if there's one water ski, well, I'll tell you a story. So I was with Matteo Lazzari in 2014. We turned up at the Malibu Open and neither of us knew Freddie. And we're just like, whoa, there's Freddie Krueger. That he's right there. Like we're breathing the same air. That guy is the, and this is, we didn't know him. So this is just the aura that he gave out and what we understood about him. That guy is the most professional, the most, the biggest sort of ambassador for the sport that there is. And here I am 9.5 years later, I think exactly the same, and actually more, because I've spent more time around him and I see, I see what he's doing behind the scenes as well as in front of the cameras when he's jumping. And he's a 10 out of 10 guy. So yeah, he's someone that, he's the epitome of what a water skier should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, that is like when, it gets thrown around a lot, but the consummate professional, you're like that describes Freddie. So on to Malibu Open this weekend. I know your last Malibu win was back in 2017, followed by a few Malibu Opens that were memorable for other reasons, namely some of the crashes that made your ability to take a hit famous. You're headed up there soon. What's your plan for this weekend?
Well, I'm going to go try and win it like I do every time. But I mean, I came second last year, runoff for first between myself, nephew, Thomas DeGasperi and Will. And I ran 4:41. Will went round five just in front of me. So, disappointing to lose that runoff. It was actually the first of two in 2 weeks. Will got me the following week at Travers once again, but no, I mean, Will, I'm always excited to go and ski in a tournament. It's a bit of a drive up there. I'm going to go practice tomorrow. Unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to get behind those Malibu boats so much down here. So it's always a bit of an adjustment, just like going between any two boats. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to go and we're happy. I think all us skiers that we've got that 2-round qualifying format, whereas previously it's been one round, and then a cut and then another, and then a semifinal, then a cut and then the final. So it gives us the best opportunity to really go for it. And yeah, I mean, I'll know more as I go. I've been skiing very well in practice this week. I feel really good about it. And I can't tell you any more than that. It's like, I'll tell you all the boring stuff. I want to go win. I feel good. Training's been good, the typical sort of interview, but that is what I think. And hopefully it'll work out. We'll see where I am on Saturday evening.
Right on. All right. Well, Freddie, thank you, man. Good luck this weekend, and we'll see how this Cliffs leaderboard shakes out after the Malibu Open.